We now bring to these microphones a rabbi. A rabbi who is a regular guest of us right here on Prophecy Today, one of our regular broadcast partners, Rabbi Yoel Karen, is who I'm talking about. We promised we would talk to him about Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the last of the seven Jewish feasts that the Lord gave the Jewish people way back in the times of the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 23. And this is somewhat of a joyous feast. They had a very solemn day earlier this week with Yom Kippur, but this is a very special time of celebration. Rabbi, thank you for joining us, and Chag Sameach to you.
Chag Sameach, and a joyous feast in Hebrew.
Yes, amen. Well, that's exactly what we want to talk about. Talk to me just a few moments after Yom Kippur. There's about a four-day period before you begin this next feast, which is Feast of Tabernacles, or in Hebrew, Sukkot, and we're going to explain what that's all about in just a moment. But this is a very busy time, is it not, getting ready for the Feast of Tabernacles?
I'm telling you, as soon as Yom Kippur is over, no sooner have you taken that drink of water than you start hearing hammers and drills and things and lumber, and it's a crazy time. It's like full-on construction boom going on with people building their tabernacles.
Now, talk to us that may be eavesdropping on the conversation. Tell us about what you do. You prepare a sukkah or a tabernacle. What is that? Just give us a description of what it is and why are you doing this?
Well, the Torah, the Bible, tells us explicitly when we came out of Egypt, we were ordered to, or commanded, to remember the Exodus from Egypt. It's one of these things that we do, just like Passover, where we have certain things that God told us to do as part of our covenant with Him, to remember what He did for us when He brought us out of Egypt. And when we were in the wilderness during that 40 years, we lived in these temporary huts. When we would camp, people set up tents. They set up these temporary huts made of palm branches, made of whatever the people could find around. But they weren't like sturdy homes. They were definitely very temporary, temporal structures that weren't intended to last. And so what we do is, once a year, the Bible tells us to build for ourselves Sukkot, meaning sometimes it's translated as booths, translated as tabernacle, meaning a temporary dwelling, to build for ourselves, every family, to build one of these for themselves and to live in it for 7 days.
Many of the Jewish people will stay in their sukkah or in their tabernacle all 7 days, or at least have their meals there, let the children play there, etc.
Absolutely. At the very least, you have to eat all of your meals there. You have to, all of your sit-down meals have to be eaten there. And we're not allowed to sit down and have a meal or Shabbat meal or whatever. We're not allowed to sit down and have a meal outside of the sukkah.
Feast of Tabernacles is also a joyous time as you celebrate the harvest of some of the wonderful fruits and nuts and things in Israel, is it not?
Absolutely, because you've got, this is the fall harvest. You have this, we have two harvests, the spring and the fall harvest, and this is when a lot of this stuff comes in. The date trees right now, I'm sure you've been here for so many years now, you can imagine in your head when I tell you that those date trees, those branches are weighed down heavy right now with dates, those huge bunches of dates pulling the branches down right now. And it's a really amazing thing to see, because right now is about the time they ripen up, and the branches that have the dates also turn this beautiful bright yellow color, and it's really pretty to see this fall fruit.
What does it mean that this is one of the pilgrim feasts? I understand that Passover and also the Feast of Pentecost would be a pilgrim feast, but Tabernacles is as well. What's that talking about?
I mean, three times per year, God told us that every man is to show his face in front of him, meaning that every Jewish male needs to come up to Jerusalem and show themselves before God, present themselves before God three times a year. And so this is the law, is that we go up. Right now we don't have a temple, so you're supposed to be going up and offering a festival sacrifice. And no one is, that's the thing, is no one is to show up empty-handed. If we were to go today, we would be showing up empty-handed because we don't have a temple for us to bring those offerings. But God willing, we'll rectify that soon. But that's what it means, is we're all supposed to go up. Every Israelite, no matter where they are in the world, is supposed to, and this is the way it was done. when there was a temple in Jerusalem, Jews would come from Alexandria, Egypt, from Rome, from everywhere, from all over. They would come and come and camp in Jerusalem during these 7 days.
Well, without that temple, it's not possible really to do what the Bible commands each Jewish person to do. But I would imagine that's probably most of the motivation behind wanting to have that temple up and operating pretty soon.
Absolutely. A Jew that is serious about the Hebrew faith, that is not just doing what they're doing because they were raised that way, but doing what they're doing because they believe it and they want to do God's will, they're not happy with the situation that we have now. And they want it fixed, and they want it fixed now. We need a temple, or we have an incomplete faith. We have an incomplete system here. This is not the way God set it up. This is not what he asked us to do.
Would you say that the Jewish people are prepared right now to put that temple up, possibly with the concern about how are they going to get rid of that gold dome building where the temple is supposed to stand? But have all the other preparations been made? Are there some things that still need to be done?
You know, there are still a few things that need to be done, but mostly the battle right now is for the hearts and minds of the Jewish people. And God can do that in his own way and in his own time. We saw when the exiles came back from Babylon, from the Babylonian exile, they sat there for an entire generation and just resolutely refused. They're building their own houses, building virtual palaces for themselves while God's house lay in ruins, which is exactly the situation that we have today. And God sent Haggai, the prophet, to castigate them for this and to call them to task for it. That, look at you, you all sit in your nice houses while mine lays in ruins. You know, don't you care? Doesn't anyone care? And that's sort of the message that I think the people need to hear today. And something needs to happen to make them care.
Over the years that Judy and I have lived there in Jerusalem, we have been very interested in watching how the Christian community of the world would come and join with the Jewish people there in Israel to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. In fact, they have some great gatherings of Christians, up to 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 of them coming in. This is interesting as it relates to what Zechariah talks about, celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles.
What a beautiful thing to actually wake up in the morning, step outside your home, and live Bible prophecy, to actually see it being fulfilled, to see all the nations of the world coming to Jerusalem, just as the prophet said that they would. And I tell you, it's something else to watch that parade. My kids go to it every year to see all of the different nations. Papua New Guinea, they're coming, and these guys, they've got the feather headdresses and everything, and they brought gold and gave to the Temple Institute to go towards the temple. It's an amazing thing to see.
That is really, truly a wonderful time in the state of Israel and a great celebration. Well, referring to that Zechariah 14 passage, it seems to me to say that not only will this happen now, and we see a precursor to what will be in the future, that forever, and when that temple is standing on the Temple Mount, these nations will continue to come. They will be obligated to come and celebrate Feast of Tabernacles. That's, you're saying, the fulfillment of prophecy. That's the foretaste of what's going to be for a long time in the future.
Absolutely. It's just a small taste. And we know from there in that passage in Zechariah that the coming of the rains and everything for each nation will be dependent on whether they come up or not. There's a lot more to come, but it's nice to see it beginning, to see it with our own eyes, and to be able to touch it and taste it. He's saying, Steph, you've built these houses for yourselves. Once a year, come out here and be with me. Come out here and be with me. And that's why we're not allowed, when we build the rooftop on these things, it's not allowed to be, you can't put your palm branches on top so thick that you can't look up and see heaven. You have to be able to see through and to see heaven. And that's one of the lessons here. Everything that we see in this world, we've got to be able to see through it and see what the reality is behind it and to see heaven and to see where our real goal is.
Wow, what a great thought. Be able to see heaven and understand the directives come from up above. Rabbi Yoel Karen giving us insight into the Feast of Tabernacles, some of his personal experiences, as well as the desire to rebuild a temple so they'll be able to honor the directive from the Lord to go up to the temple and offer thanksgiving unto him at Feast of Tabernacles. Rabbi, thank you so very much. Chag Sameach, my good friend. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, and Chag Sameach.